Then came time to celebrate the centennial at First Methodist Church, 100 years. A little bit about that.
During the centennial, our slogan was, catch the spirit. We had a picture of a dove flying and something off his wings behind. Two of the men in the church designed that. Through Catch the Spirit, we talked a lot about the spirit at First Methodist. We started doing dream teams. I do a lot of dreaming and sometimes can image the dream a little bit. So I created a dream team. We'd ask them, what do you like about First Methodist? What could we do to improve it? What do you think among our dreams may be God's vision for the church? I remember we didn't have many young adults, like 21 up to the late 30s. So I started having a sandwich, coffee, and drinks, and a salad in my office. My secretary would come in and take notes. We'd ask those questions, and people who didn't participate in leadership of the church came. We had 16 of those, and I could get 20 people in my office. She took notes, and we took those down. Each pastor had a dream team. We got up, I think, to 18 pastors while I was there. Had almost 9,000 members, one for every five. Church even said, well, what about the ones out there leading those five men? That's why we brought Bob McAdoo in, a second reason. But we asked the minister to have their secretaries take notes. Then we got together as a bank of dreams. We had a chair of the bank of dreams. We'd get together monthly and discuss those dreams. My executive committee became my dream team. We still call them executive committee. I had 25 of those, and I got a bushel of stuff from that. Whatever kind of rose to the top, after majority of the church, I'm talking about 75-85% of the people, saw the need and wanted to do it, they were motivated. It was not difficult to get them to do it. Then we got the dream during the centennial year that we ought to pay off the children's building Dr. Thomas had built. We ought to pay off Burggraf. We started having men's breakfast, and first thing we knew, that was paid off. Then the dream team started, and they went on beyond the centennial year. It caught fire in missions. Somebody in missions had a dream that we'd go to do more missions. At the time, we had only 30,000 in missions that year for outside the church. We had five, six missionaries we were supporting, and I said, should we stop faith promises? Is there something wrong with that? They wrote us a letter and said, whatever the church raises, we match. I don't know who it was. Never found out who it was. They wrote us through a legal firm. They were sworn to secrecy. The letter wasn't signed. I saw the letter. He was just a faithful member or something. Hmm. Never found out. Well, we jumped it up to 70 that year. They matched it. Next year, we went about 150. They matched it. Next year, we went over 200. They matched it. So they put at least $250,000, maybe near $500,000 in missions. And then we got a letter saying, we're off and running now. Were we ever? We had over 100 men in the church who could do work on a mission field. Electrician, plumbers, finishers, foundation layers, concrete pourers, you name it, they could do it. There was a time there in a six-year period when we built a building and a half every year that I was there. We'd send five groups of 10 men, they'd stay 10 days, and 50 men in that period of time could build a building that could take care of 300 people on the mission field. We built churches, cafeterias, dormitories for boys and girls in orphans' homes, pastors' houses, worship centers, you name it. We built it. I got a chance to go to an island. We built a church, visit baptism babies that day, and we baptized 60-something babies. I just was dead tired when I finished, you know. But I guess our greatest miracle in missions was probably when Chris Hanna came through. She was a black woman that was born in Liberia, went to communistic Russia to get her doctor's degree, came to Candler School of Theology to get her social worker's degree. She went to the City of Faith and had surgery for breast cancer when we were doing that Seed Faith giving. Didn't cost her a penny. Went to one of our families, Terry and Sharon Davis, and they just took care of her bodily for about 6 months or a year, just to kind of adopted daughter. The Methodist Mission Board sent her to Moscow. She stayed there about 8 years. Went from there to Kazakhstan. Now she's back in Liberia in her home place, and she's dealing with a women's ministry. She's getting government support and everything else. Recently, somebody in Texas sent her a gift of $200,000. She didn't even know that person. She heard about what she was doing. God reached through ORU and Candler and First Methodist. It's amazing how God put all that together. There has to be a God. doing all this stuff.